Good day, listeners. This is your host, Michael Martins, with the Martins Critical Review, broadcasting this morning from a foggy, chilly, wintry day here in south-central British Columbia. In today's episode, I present you with another one of the final COVID-19-focused episodes. Today, we will continue our examination of the scientific baseless mass vaccination campaigns presently underway globally. We will take a look at what is really in these injections and what their real purpose may actually be. Joining us today is Dr. Carrie Madej, Doctor of Osteopathy. Dr. Madej is originally from Dearborn, Michigan, and received her medical degree from Kansas City University of Medical Biosciences in 2001. She then completed her traditional internship at the Medical Center in Columbus, Georgia, and an internal medical residency at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia. Dr. Madej served as a private clinician and medical director of clinics in Georgia until 2015. Dr. Madej also served as an attending physician for the Pennsylvania College of Osteopathic Medicine in the Georgia campus, where she mentored students in clinical applications of internal medicine for 8 years. More importantly, Dr. Madej believes that the body, mind, and spirit are equally important in achieving wellness, and that a balanced body has the inherent ability to heal itself. She believes a physician should be a teacher of health to the patient, as well as identify the causes of disease in order to have an optimal body. Dr. Madej now generously dedicates her time to educating others on vaccines, nanotechnology, human rights, via multiple platforms and speaking engagements. And of course, Dr. Madej has a great love for humanity and the sacredness of life, her trust and faith in our Creator and our Heavenly Father. Dr. Madej, it is an honor to be able to speak with you today. Thank you so much for your time and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael. It's my pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Thank you. So maybe if we can begin today on a bit more of a personal note, give the listeners a little bit of a background about yourself. And let's start with who the young Carrie Madej was at the time she left Dearborn, Michigan and headed off to KCU. And what motivated that young person to pursue the field of medicine?
I always wanted to be a scientist first, but I really wanted to take care of people. And I always thought that it was a noble profession. It was an honor and a sacredness to it, to care for another one's life. And I also grew up in Dearborn, where 50% of the doctors at the time were osteopaths. So that was very common there. And that's not normal to grow up in that way. But it was normal to try to avoid medicines and, you know, understanding that the body can heal itself. So I was lucky in that way. So I started off with some idealism in the beginning. I believed in the profession. I believed in our country. I just thought they were wanting the best for us. So that's where I started my profession. And as I went along, I was taught critical thinking skills, deductive reasoning. And doing that, I saw and questioned things and then realized that the causes of what made us sick was not being taught. And that was purposeful. And every time we unveiled another cause of something, and that means there's a solution, we were told to be quiet as a group of students. And throughout my career, I was told to never say things that would teach people about what made them sick, or I would lose my job and I would be blackballed from the industry. So definitely a lot within a short amount of time, I realized what was really going on, but then also realized that our bodies are amazingly and wonderfully made, and that we should never lose faith and hope that we can heal ourselves.
Well, that's very interesting that you make that statement, because of course, here in Canada, 98%+ of the doctors are singing from the same songbook as Dr. Fauci, and are completely ignorant of the data and simply refuse to look at it. Your information here is very interesting and very illuminating. Just for clarity, perhaps, if you could explain the difference between osteopathic medicine and the regular allopathic model, if you would.
We do the same training as the MDs do, so no different. And I'm still have to pass the same boards, the same tests as all the MDs do. The difference is the philosophy. We treat the body, mind, and spirit. We believe that the body inherently knows how to heal itself. So we're teachers of health. We look for the blockages in that body. Why is the body not healing itself? We also believe in our Creator God, and that is very important to us. We believe in structure and function. So we learn a lot about using our senses, our skills of touch, visual, hearing and diagnosing the patient. So we look at the body, each person's individual. So just because you have a sinus infection doesn't mean the reason you have a sinus infection is the reason everybody has one. We have to look at your reason that you have that. So it's using less drugs, less procedures.
So really like a true physician instead of these allopathic quacks that are simply drug pushers and prescription pad.
Yes, unfortunately, my profession, though, has amalgamated with the MDs, though, the current state of affairs. So the new ones aren't learning quite as much as we used to.
That's unfortunate. Well, maybe with this chapter in our rearview mirror, that will change.
Yes. I mean, we have to separate away and make our own system. The old system is not
broken.
Going to work. We can't fix it. No, can't be fixed. We need a new one.
I agree. So what do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment or achievement to date in your medical practitioner journey?
Greatest accomplishment. When I had my big clinic before I had to close that down, we were really successful at helping people find the causes of things and helping them to educate others about that. I think your success is about not you, it's about your ability to teach others and have them go out and teach others and have that reproducible without you. So in that way, I think that was my greatest success.
So really empowering patients to heal themselves and heal their people around them and create a new sense of wellness amongst the community.
Yeah, you have the power within you. You don't have to just look up to a doctor or a politician or whoever to be the savior. That's ridiculous. They're just like you, put the power back into the people's hands.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said. In one of your interviews in the soon to be released film, The Greatest Reset, you mentioned some business conferences around 2013, 2014 in Atlanta regarding the future of humanity. Could you share some of your experiences and thoughts as a result from those meetings and conference?
Yes, that was eye-opening. So when I was helping people find the causes and they were healing themselves completely of different things, whether it was cancers or liver failure, et cetera, I got the attention of a lot of people, not for what I thought I would get attention for. Government entities, CDC, public health department, federal agents. And they wanted me to stop doing what I was doing. They didn't want, what I found out is healing people or helping them be healed is not in the interest of money, of big business. And nobody wants to upset the apple cart. They want everything status quo, but I didn't stop doing that. So for whatever reason, I was then recruited to these meetings. I don't know if it was for my skill sets or just for to be an influencer or what the exact reason was, but I was. And I was not prepared because I didn't know. I thought it was just a normal business chamber meeting where you're just, meeting other people within the field, just having relationships. But the business owners meeting here in Metro Atlanta was shocking because in this meeting, it was different where we were bussed in. We could not drive. Everybody, even the big wigs from CNN, were bussed in. And so our cell phones were jammed. That was around 2014. You couldn't use any sort of communication. The doors were locked. So this was very different. And so when the meeting started, it was actually Sanjay Gupta, who's known in the U.S. As a doctor on CNN. He was there talking about how we need to help people out because they're too violent, they're racist, they're just out of control. We're heathens, right? We're useless eaters in a way. So this is bad for business. So this is why it was brought up in a business owners meeting. They had to tie this all in. So it's bad for business because when they were trying to recruit companies from other countries to come in, they said, no, we don't like your people. This is their excuse. So they thought about it. How can we change a populace so quickly? Oh, we came up with a solution. So how about we start modifying and augmenting people's behavior? And we'll do this. We don't need their permission because they're just little people. They can't make their own decisions. This is how they talk. And so we're going to start using their smartphones. And when they started talking about this, they said, everybody will have a health app that's downloaded, and we all do now. You can disable it, but you cannot erase it. You can't even disable it completely on the iPhones now. Anyhow, they went through the drop downs of what the iPhone program would be able to monitor inside a human body at all times without your permission, really. And so they use the example of, okay, let's, their program in Atlanta, maybe different in another city, was lying. If we stop people from lying, or very little lying, what a beautiful, wonderful world it would be. And so this is their example. They used a white lie, like two women talking on the phone. One woman would say to the other, "Where are you? You're late. You're supposed to be at the restaurant at 5 o'clock." And the other woman would say, "I'm sorry, I'm running late at the gym," like a lot of people do. We make white lies like that. But this phone with the program would know instantly the woman was lying because of many parameters it was measuring simultaneously. So one was the electrodermal analysis, which is a polygraph test on par with the police station. So at all times, they'll know you're lying by that. Another one was voice inflection app. They're very, very proud of that one. They feel they can tell if you're lying from that. Of course, heart rate, blood pressure, knowing that she was sedentary, not at the gym. Of course, GPS. But also knew they knew she was at the bar drinking because of the blood alcohol content. Medications were monitored. Maybe she was taking something else, et cetera, et cetera. And so that the phone would know that she's lying by all these parameters, the AI program would make the decision that she's lying, then an instant repercussion would be given to the body of that woman. So they use the word shock, literally use the word shock. So the whole audience did gasp at that, and they said, okay, Sanjay Gupta said, okay, I guess the word shock's a little harsh for you all. I'll use the word buzz. So he never went in to describe what that meant, but I could tell you that we have the ability for electronic impulses to be sent and to influence our body. So if you have enough of a certain substance inside of you, the impulse could trigger a chemical reaction, could make a substance be produced. It could do many things. So, your imagination can go wild with that one. So an instant repercussion, almost like a Pavlovian dog kind of thing, right? Then the second thing was that all the time she lied was added up over maybe a month, 3 months. And then on the AI program, now it's a supercomputer now, there's no people involved in this decision-making process. A supercomputer would decide if she fit into the model of a good human or bad human. And then the social credit system would be enacted at that point. And if she was considered a liar, a bad person for society, she wouldn't get a good percentage on her home mortgage. She couldn't get into the school she wanted to. She couldn't have access to good food. She couldn't do any entertainment, on and on and on. They did say the downfalls at that moment were who privacy. There's no privacy, but they didn't care. Number two was who's going to monetize off it. They were arguing about that in that meeting. They didn't really care. And the other thing was whether or not the person would absolutely cognitively know this was happening to them. They weren't sure about that. They weren't sure if they're going to just announce it or whether or not they would just influence them and let them figure it out. And people think that's so far-fetched. They wanted a timeline of 5 years. The other thing was they would never say how they would get this substance hydrogel inside the body. I believe 100% the way they're doing it is through these injections, falsely called vaccines. And they could also put it in other ways, but the most powerful way would be through an injection. Once they have enough, then you are turned on, where now you everything can monitor what's inside of you. Their plan was to actually be able to know what you think of and dream of. They believe, this is what they say, the people that are pushing these agendas, that 85, they have an 85% success rate of knowing what you think or dream of. I mean, who knows if that's true. But in this audience of these business owners, people were clapping furiously and even standing ovation. And I was felt like I was one of the only ones horrified. And so when I questioned this, the people are on my table said, "Oh, I, you know, yeah, it does sound bad, but soon you'll see that you can't stop what's coming, and that when it happens, you'll be running back to us very fast. And we don't need doctors anyway. You won't have a job because, the bodies will be so changed that they won't need anyone like you." And I said, "I'll never join this ever." And they said, "Well, I guess for the few that are left, they do have provisions for a small group of us natural, organic, 100% human beings left, that that you could be a doctor for them." And that was kind of what it was left at. So they said there would be pilot cities, at least in the US, which, Canada is very similar to us. They probably have the same plans. And each one would maybe have slightly different parameters. Maybe another city would measure or modify another kind of behavior. I'm not sure. But it was still an experiment within an experiment. We have to just know that we have a lot of doctor evils that have had no checks and balances running around. We've always had them, but now there's just no checks and balances to govern them. And this is where we are.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is some very, very interesting information, and definitely plays into some of the other research that I've done in terms of the technocracy movement and what they are envisioning. It's part of the reason why there's such a fervor towards electrical vehicles, because of course they're very easy to be controlled, and you can be
Digital
locked in.
cage, right?
Yeah,
You're a
absolutely.
bad human, and then you get cut off at a certain time, a diameter, right, around your house, and you can't go further.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this is so obviously there's been more meetings since 14. You probably haven't attended those, but I'm imagining that they have been going on ever since.
Yes, I did not. I wish I did attend more meetings. I was just so angry and upset. I'll never be like, and I wish I was smarter and went to a few more, but I didn't. However, I did run into somebody that recently that has gone to more meetings, and they said that these plans have gone forward and more. That's all they'll say. Scientific meetings have echoed the same thing that I'm just saying right now. And do you know Mike Lindell from MyPillow, the guy that
Yes,
is.
yes.
So, have you heard
Brave.
what they just did last week to him?
No, but I know they're making his life miserable.
So, what happened is that all the big banks went to him, his business managers, and said this. They had, if they voluntarily shut down every one of their bank accounts, they wouldn't force them to be shut down. Meaning, you have to shut your bank accounts down now, 1 week, or we're going to shut them down for you.
And
And
take the
why?
contents, I'm sure.
Well, why, well, the reason why is that his social presence was not beneficial. This is called the social credit system. Already, they're already starting it on him. He's being made the example of. He's been a bad boy. Not that it has nothing to do with his financial status, is only because of his social persona, because he's questioning the elections, et cetera, right? That
Yes.
shows you where we're about to go. If we don't stand up for ourselves, or at least separate away from this system.
Yeah, that's again more shocking information. A bit of a tidbit of information for you. I'm sure you're aware that Canada has a vaccine passport system, and there was a data breach before Christmas, where the government, made it out like there was a hacker group seeking personal information for identity theft. And I think the reality was they were trying to hack the QR system to be able to sell those to people that didn't want to comply. And one of the officers who was investigating that, who saw the entirety of what was behind that, this is already a social credit score. Everybody who has participated in that system already has a social credit score. And
Okay.
here in Canada, when the supreme leader of the country endorses the Chinese totalitarian system and says that he is admires that system because of their ability to control the population. I mean, we're in a very, very dire situation here, and unfortunately, Canadians are not the same as Americans, particularly in the South there. We're much more apathetic. There isn't that freedom loving Second Amendment style mentality here. Much, much softer population. So, I envision that that southeast quadrant of America may be the last bastion of freedom on the planet. Hopefully that is the case, and that people begin to rally around people like you and the message of, we cannot tolerate this, because otherwise this is going very, very badly, even within our lifetimes.
Yeah, people don't like to hear. I haven't even told everybody the worst part of all this.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, this is the sad thing. You have to do it in gradations, because most people were like me before. I believed in our country. I believed in our medical system. I believed in that. And then I realized this is trying to kill us.
Right.
And so to go through down that rabbit hole and for people to digest it, you can't just say it everything at once, because a lot of this is what we would call sci-fi. It's really our reality, though. And so you have to take them down one process at a time, because if they question that maybe the medical system's not on our side, well, then you have to question the government itself, right? These are processes. Then you have to question the history of us and see that there's a depopulation agenda going on, and why and how could they do this? Well, it just goes through the written history of us, all these genocides happening. It's about power and control of us, because in this meeting, they called us. If you agreed to be on this side, you were a controller. I could have been a controller. I'm not. Now I'm a controlled. This is what they consider us. Controllers, control. That's an easy way to look at it. They believe that somehow they have a specialness about them. They don't. Not at all. But in their minds, they do. And so they feel like they can be in control. Now, are they really the controllers? Absolutely not. They're just minions. The real controllers, to me, the real entities are demonic, right? We battle powers and principalities. So, we have to, people disconnected themselves from God, so they don't believe in Satan or demons or evil entities like that. I do. I think they're real. And I think that they're driving this force and that we are in a spiritual battle. And so this is what we have to realize. But my goodness, it is so hard to get people to really see that. They keep looking for a person, a human, to save them. That's not going to happen. We have to bring God back into everything and be close with God and know that the word is real, and that, Jesus Christ taught us many things for this moment, told us, if you are impressed, pretty much I'm paraphrasing, if you're impressed with what I do, guess what? In the future, you will do greater things than I'm doing. Isn't that amazing? So even though we have to go through these terrible things and learn about them, we have to see what satanic world we've been living in. That's called the apocalypse. It's called lifting of the veil. Literally means lifting of the veil. Now you're seeing what you've been around. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just curl up in a ball and die and comply? Or are you going to reclaim your birthright, your royal divinity? And remember what Jesus Christ told us, is that we will be able to do greater things than he's done. And so look at that. You are unstoppable with God, truly, and to be one with that. That's exciting. That's amazing. That's empowering. That's uplifting, to truly have paradise, to truly have heaven on earth, like we were supposed to a long time ago. And it's going through that succession of things to show people this is not, you don't want to go back to what it was. What it was human trafficking and genocides, and over 50% of people will have cancer. By 2035, one out of two children will have autism. No, that is not a good world. Being threatened about if you're going to have a roof over your head or food, stop the madness. It's about, that is not what we go back to. We need to be accountable and responsible for what happens from now on.
Absolutely. And I think there's been the message, the Christ messaging has been bastardized for 2,000 years, largely at the hands of organized religion. I mean, when you look at the Catholic Church and the horrors that they perpetrated on society since their inception, I would agree with you that there is a demonic possession on this planet and that they are serving that. I mean, the Inquisition, the Dark Ages, all of this is something which isn't godly and isn't in line with Christ's teachings, and that our role as humans is to bring about that paradise on earth. It's not to fight each other. It's not to hoard imaginary fiat currency. We are supposed to be empowering and loving one another and bringing about something which we've failed to do thus far. And I think largely because those who are in this controller category are demonically possessed and have been serving, whether it's a satanic force or demonic force, whatever you want to label it, it is evil and it's not human.
Yeah, I think we need to realize that we are not the only beings here. That's what I believe. We have so many references throughout history. Look at all of the artifacts found that we keep denying. The giant bones that are irrefutable that, the Smithsonian keeps stealing away, but the elongated skulls, there are some different beings here. And they were always the one overruling us and oppressing us. Perhaps there's still some here, right? We need to start entertaining that thought. And then we'll realize that stop fighting amongst each other. We're not each other's enemy. we're on the same team. And that's the trick they're playing on us, divide and conquer.
Yes.
The real enemy is something else. We need to learn the real history of us and to bring, you know, our spirituality back into everything. That's why they stopped, you know, having God in the country, politics, schools, or homes, the churches. That's to weaken us, to divide us.
Well, you're still in Georgia, are you?
Yes.
So you've got a great resource nearby, Mr. Randall Carlson, who is a, if you don't recognize the name, I would suggest you look him up. He's quite a specialist in terms of where we've come from. And, you know, clearly 11,500 years ago, the world was still locked within an ice age. That came to an abrupt end. The cataclysmic event, which is also, you know, documented as the Great Flood, which has been reported, of course, biblically and through essentially every single society on Earth in some form or another. It's very possible and very likely that there was a civilization that preceded ours and has simply been expunged from history. And when we look at the level of technology that became apparent immediately after that, it's improbable that there wasn't something before us. And that part of the reason why, you know, the comments that you're making in terms of, you know, what is our true purpose? Why are we so off purpose? We're a species with amnesia. We don't really know where we've come from. We are these survivors from the previous civilization that these controllers have obviously been able to implement this level of control to keep the herd in check and not allow us to have knowledge of our true selves and our true capabilities and what our true purpose is. I'm sure Randall would love to speak with you. And if you like, I can introduce you guys on email afterwards.
I would like that very much. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very empowering. It's very empowering once you have that idea that, you know, we're not this sort of advanced party, that there's nothing behind us. We have a tremendous history, which could be hundreds of thousands of years, which was expunged mm-hmm. after this great cataclysm. And so here we are, we're wandering around kind of like children in the dark, not knowing what to do with these, you know, these horrible babysitters that are punishing us and keeping us from our true potential.
That's a pretty good way of putting it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back to the science here. And maybe let's just begin. You touched on it. So the whole concept of osteopathy regarding the belief in the mind and the body and the spirit are equally important to achieving wellness. Let's just explore that a little bit before we get into the contents of these vaccines, because I think that's really important. And it's very empowering for people to realize that they have the power within themselves to heal.
Yeah. You want to go on?
go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, our bodies are, the more you know about the body, the science is miraculous. It's no way that we just come from evolution. That is just impossible.
We didn't come out of pond muck. I'm sure of that.
No, we're not from some frog aunt or uncle, you know. So we have so many things in our body that we are not taught scientifically, and that we can influence our body with our mind. We know that with so much research, you think of something and you can make it happen in your body, good or bad. You influence the things around you. And so the easiest way to start looking into this for people, I think visual pictures are great. So a couple of things are, there's Dr. Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-O, who died recently. And this researcher was taking water crystals. So we're over 90% water, and water is life. It's pretty amazing. It freezes when it shouldn't, and it boils when it shouldn't. When it freezes, the only thing on this planet that will expand instead of contract, holds memory, and it has intelligence, because every crystal is different than another, which is unlike any substance on Earth. It's not uniform. And the crystalline structure will depend on where it comes from, what happened to it, intention. So if it comes from something polluted, it's very distorted without any real structure. And without structure, you don't have a good function, right? Structure and function are very important. That's what we're taught in osteopathy. So that same water molecule, that same water crystal can change. If you pray, if you have beautiful, powerful words with intention, you can change that distorted water crystal into a beautiful crystalline structure that has now a function and can be useful. That's amazing. Over and over and over, they've done studies, and people should look up the images. They're breathtaking and beautiful. That means that within your own body, you can change the structure of your own body. You can change it within an area. They did it over distance too. So people praying for a certain water structure across the world could instantaneously affect it. You know, we do know that prayer itself, we have research to show that instantaneously you can affect somebody over a distance. You can affect yourself. It's just, that should blow everybody's mind away. And that prayer, actually, even the name Jesus Christ affects things powerfully. The name itself, there's power in the word. In the beginning, there was the word. That's why we need to start reading the Bible again. It's our best clue to where we've come from. It's the best clue to the power we have within us, because everything else has been manipulated around us. So, and also I tell people, you know, the Russians are way ahead of us with research like this. Look at Russian research. One of the great things is to know that frequency can actually change the genomic structure, your genetics. So bad frequency destroys and breaks it, like bad kinds of music, the wrong hertz, these EMF, the 5G towers, et cetera. They destroy, distort the genetic structure, but good frequency can repair and make it anew. So a nice thing to look at is there's a study in Russia where they took genetically modified plants. You know, these are genetically modified food is awful. There's nothing good about it. It hurts us. It causes all kinds of, they have diseases. They don't reproduce their own seeds. So what they did is they took a perfect structure of the Pyramid of Giza, just the measurements, okay? And it was a tubular structure. I don't think it mattered the material it was made of, just a tubular structure, but the exact dimensions. They hung it over a crop of GMO plants, and they said within two of the life cycles, they had to plant a new one, right? But the frequency changed in the genetic structure so that by the third life cycle, they started to produce their own seeds. And they looked at their genome. The genome changed back to the original genome of that plant, the wild type. That means there is memory in this world. There's memory in us. There's memory in all life of what our original structure is. We always have potential. And we need to remember that these are the studies our children should be learning. These are the things we should be learning about. But these are the things that are hidden from us, because look how simple the answer is. The answer is always simple. We need to stop depending on man to give us the answers of a magic pill, a magic shot. It's never going to work that way. Start looking at how wonderfully, wonderfully, beautifully we are made in this world, in this life. And just know that the power of your heart, this most powerful organ in the body, more powerful than anything else, 100,000 times more with electromagnetic energy, a good frequency. And an average human, it goes out 6 feet from your body, which is interesting. That's why they want us to stay around away from each other 6 feet, because we actually communicate with each other just in physical proximity without even saying a word. That's why they don't want you together. So anyhow, 6 feet, but with a person that is really connected to their spiritual nature, who really has amazing intent, loving energy, because love frequency is the highest frequency, the most powerful frequency. Their energy goes out, they believe in some people even miles or kilometers, which is all, that's just awesome. So we don't get taught these things, but we should.
Are you familiar with Dr. Thomas Cowan's work on the conscious heart?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so another volume for you to take a look at. He's an anthropophysical doctor. I believe he's up in New England now. He spent most of his working career in California, and of course the medical board there constantly was challenging him, and he finally folded his practice. He's written a number of books. He's been quite outspoken on the whole COVID fiasco as well. Very interesting in terms of, like as you said, there's a tremendous amount of energetic frequency within the heart. That it may, the allopathic model of what the heart is probably far from what it truly is. And he's done some work on there. So again, it's another interesting book perhaps to dive into there. So yeah. let's get back to the vaccines here. I mean, you've been taking a deep dive into the contents of these. You know, I'm kind of shocked that your work and other people's work looking at what's in these hasn't received more attention. Can you summarize your research to date on this subject?
Yeah, people don't want to go there, do they? They don't want to go into a realm that they're not familiar with. Nobody likes change, not even people in the freedom movement. So this is why they ignore it. But unfortunately, we will all have to deal with what's going on inside of the shots at some point. So when I speak on transhumanism, which is what I was taught about in these meetings, about that this is a force that none of us can stop, and that their agenda for all of us is 2030, they are dead set on that date. 2030, all of us will be amalgamated into transhumanism. I knew about the technologies, and I was talking about it, and then I thought to myself, well, these things that they say they can do inside of the injections, they're liars. So how do we know? Maybe they're just trying to scare us. Maybe it's not really inside of there. So I have to know. And so, like I said, my first love is science, being a scientist. So I was able to get vials and look at them myself. And I just did a simple compound microscope, which nobody ever thought to do. No one thought to look at it with a bird's eye view. Usually they're doing it on a nano level. And I didn't think I'd see much, but I did. I started to see pretty much superconducting materials, which is another way of saying it's an injectable form of computing material. So they're putting pieces and parts inside of these that could come together and form an entire computing system, artificial intelligence system inside of a human body. Therefore, slowly turning you into a cyborg, because I was told in meetings it's much cheaper to turn a human into a cyborg than to start from scratch. We don't cost much money. It's pretty sad they look at us that way. But the other thing that I saw, which it wasn't totally surprised because all vaccines have had these in the past, are contamination, right? Whatever that means, purposeful or not purposeful, of organisms. But what I really did not expect, not a million years, was when I started to see something called water parasites. Hydra vulgaris are some of its constituents in a family. And that definitely was never in my mind to see anything like this. But when I saw it, I actually just Googled that species name, Hydra vulgaris, with transhumanism. And I couldn't believe the data and the research that came from that. This is their pet project. This is their love. They love this. It's not in all of the batches, but some of them it surely is. And that was shocking, and it needs to be addressed because what is it going to do to a human? I know what they want them to do, but what will it really do? I mean, what will these parasites do inside of a body? They have all kinds of plans because this species has immortality in some sense, and it can jump, do translocation of gene jumping, meaning its genes can jump onto the host gene. They can transfer genes easily. But also, if they have enough of them in the body, it can form a mesh network so that it has a second neural network to yours. This is frightening. So, if they were successful in this craziness, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, they could make another neural network. That parasite's neural network could communicate with another neural network in another person. You don't even know it's happening. Something it's a sim it's a parasitic, inside of a host. This is a way to control others. Not saying any of this is going to work. I'm just saying I saw this, and there's research to show that they would like to do some things with this. And then what could that really do inside of a human? What is it? Is it synthetic? Is it organic? Is it both? Is it, my first, when I saw some of them, I felt that quote unquote alien. I just, it wasn't from us, right? There are some reports people say quietly they're afraid to come forward from the in vitro fertilization clinics that the embryos that have are coming from the injected parents, that a lot of times they are having contamination in their petri dishes or wells, which when they did a microscopic look at it, they looked parasitic. Something's coming from them. Something's being passed into the embryos. What is that? They're told to destroy them. So, these are scary things, I know, but we have to look at reality for us to be able to survive this and to overcome what's happening.
Interesting. So with respect to these embryos, we're seeing sort of, are you suggesting like a human parasite hybrid or parasitic contamination as opposed to like embryo plus something, or do we know?
It appears to be some sort of parasitic organism coming from the embryo. That means it would have to be passed in the egg or the sperm of, and it's coming since the injection started. So it's growing, and they have to grow the embryo in a little, like a petri dish called a well. It's really tiny, and they have to grow. It's forming more cells, and so then they take it, and it has to be just the embryo, not something else growing with it, right? You don't want to put something else growing inside of the mom, right? It's not good. So they have to make sure it's clean, just the embryo, but they're not clean. They can't get them clean. And this was happening over and over again, not just at this IVF clinic, but others. So when this is happening, they're told to destroy the embryo. I don't know if they all are. Well, what if they don't? Does it grow? Does it not grow? Does it grow to be something different? We don't know the answer. This has never happened before. This is brand new. We don't know. We don't know if it would kill the embryo. We don't know if it would grow with the embryo. We do know that the genetic changes are significant and drastic since this shot has started. So much that the amount of surrogate eggs and surrogate mothers are increasing exponentially because of this. And that's not being addressed because it's being hidden and they're told to shut up. They won't come forward. So I can only tell you this anecdotally from, some people telling me anonymously because they're afraid to come forward. But this is the third time I've heard this, and I've seen pictures.
And so this then would suggest that fertility rates are declining across the population if we're seeing an increase.
Absolutely. They've been declining, but they're significantly declining. And the question is, which is frightening, maybe more frightening to me, what if any of these contaminations go to a full birth? What is that? What is, I don't know. I don't even have an idea of where to take that.
I mean that's just next level craziness at that point. So we're there. It sounds then that the potential recombination between the viral RMNA sequences and our human DNA is actually taking place. When I had Dr. Stephanie Seneff on the show some time ago, she raised the potential for that. There's a theoretical potential for it, but it sounds like that's actually coming to pass now.
Yeah, they're seeing evidence of that that's being covered up. And of course, the cancer rates are skyrocketing. Of course, everybody's told to be quiet. And nobody wants to address, everybody's stuck on the spike proteins, looking at the hardcore signs, the stuff we're comfortable with, that kind of thing. And to me, that's the least of our worries. I'm really interested in what kind of sci-fi technology that does not come from us or God that they're putting in there that nobody wants to touch on the artificial intelligence, the superconducting material. They won't touch it. They won't touch on these organisms that are there. It's not just me, Dr. Zalewski in Poland, Dr. Botha in South Africa. Many of the other ones have come forward or are showing these organisms. They won't even go there. We have to understand because I think that once we start addressing that, we have to address that it's a much bigger thing than man, right? Because this is not coming from us or God. And then we have to address it. This is spiritual warfare. So the sooner we put the armor of God on, the better off we are.
Interesting. And then what do you see? I mean, there's obviously the official public numbers which are released in terms of the percentage vaccinated. What is your feeling in your area? What's the presented versus actual? Is there a difference or those actual or the presented numbers pretty close to the reality?
It's hard for me to say because I'm in a skewed bubble. Most people that I'm around are not. But I like to when I can. If I go out, if I have to fly, I try never to fly. But if I do, I start talking to people next to me. Unfortunately, the people that are traveling, they've all been injected. But they all are very guilty about it. I've noticed that they really wish they hadn't. It's hard to say what those numbers are. I think they exaggerate the numbers myself. But they're still getting to be a significant portion. And definitely in the batches, they're all different, just like they're being reported. I see that visually when I look at them. They're not the same. So it is a Russian roulette which ones you get of what's happening. But if people stop now, if they're now finally seeing there's something wrong with these shots, you stop now and pray and you don't do any more of these, you think there's a chance. But if you continue to go along the succession of these shots, because eventually you're going to get some of the stuff I'm talking about in there, because it's, like I said, a Russian roulette. maybe by the seventh one, sixth one, who knows what it is, you will have changed so much, you're not really human anymore. But what does that mean? I mean, is that person willing to do that to themselves for traveling internationally or going on a cruise or whatever it is?
Well, I mean,
There's nothing in this world that could make me change who I am.
I mean, we have people, unfortunately, here that, for the privilege to go to a restaurant or a bar with their friends, they're willing to succumb to this. So, never mind the opportunity to travel overseas or something. I mean, it's a pretty pathetic reasoning in my mind that you would go through that process.
And if you wouldn't change, if you don't think you're going to change, well, you're certainly, definitely 100% getting artificial intelligence, put inside of you. And when is that tipping point where you can now be hooked into the matrix, where you are now monitored and controlled? They're not going to tell you. It's just going to happen. So why do you want to keep pushing that boundary? Because it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be like the movies and the video games that they've conditioned the kids to see that they think they'll be able to do. That is not their intent. They don't like you. Just, I don't know if anyone realizes this. People in control do not like you. They don't want you around and they don't like you happy. So don't trust their technology.
Well said. And then what about the graphene oxide? I mean, Karen Kingston has raised the alarm, as have you, in terms of, the content there and the Teslaphoresis, which may occur in terms of assembling these things. I mean, certainly the tensile strength of that material, with enough content in there, electrified or magnetized, I mean, could be like, a series of micro razors that just, turn you into mush. You'd be like a hemorrhagic fever walking down the street that turns on and you bleed out from the inside out. It's any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it depends on how it's injected inside of you, at least. If it stays within the muscle itself, none of it gets into the bloodstream. But some of it
That's
could get into these microvessels, right? If it doesn't go in the microvessels or anything like that, then it's still not good to have inside of you. You're getting injectable computing equipment inside of you. So, but yes, it could definitely cut into the walls, and you're talking about the hydrogel too, is a sticky glue like material. It's clotting inside, it's causing a sticky matter inside of you that's not good either. Polyethylene glycol is a toxin to humans. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on in here. Of course, they can cause damage to us. They don't care. They're just experimenting. They're looking to see how much can they give us before someone dies, and they back off and they tweak it a little bit because their plan is to get rid of a lot of people and then have the rest that are left over completely and utterly controlled by this technology. There's no fun end point to this. So anyone that's really going along with their plan is not educated about what it really means. And again, we are battling powers and principalities. So although it looks so overwhelming, we cannot win, it's not true because we don't need to depend on something physical to fight back, really. If we believe in ourselves and we know the power of our Father Creator and we know that we've been saved by Jesus Christ, if we know this and live it and really believe in our hearts and we pray and come together, I mean, that power is unbelievable. Again, we can do greater things than Jesus Christ did. He told us that. And that's how we change things like that, just like the pyramidal structure. I talked about the crops, all of that damage, all those years of research, all those people coming together, over
Done.
and like that. That's the real power.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we've seen there's just the protests in DC. We've got this trucker convoy going across the country, and really, if we could assemble several hundred thousand people, just as per Masaru Emoto, 100,000 people, millions of people. I mean, if every Sunday or every Saturday, these people who were tuned in elected a certain time of the day, and we all collectively prayed together and worked to bring about this change, that would be the most profound thing that we could do. Never mind holding a sign that says whatever. That has a purpose, but it's far less impactful than what we could do through our collective consciousnesses.
Absolutely. It's really coming together and knowing that throughout history we've had miracles happen. Of course, they try to hide that, right? Where the people, it seems like there's no way out, and they have this ferocious, passionate belief in freedom and in God and love for one another. And that's all they have. And they overcome anything. And that's what we need to start believing in. And also stop feeding the beast. Stop being a part of this satanic system that we are all born in. Realizing it for what it is. Don't try to continue to live in it. The more you try to continue to live in it, the worse it gets. Yeah. You have to separate away. There's private membership associations. There's, you know, living in communities again like we used to, so that each one of you can help the other. Because not one of us can do everything on our own. It's impossible. But together we can. Each one of us will have something the other needs. And start growing our own food again. And start knowing where your meat coming from. And knowing how to take care of your body, that you don't need all these expensive, crazy medicines and potions and liquids, that we can be healthy in other ways. So, and knowing that what causes our illnesses are induced upon us, we don't have to be sick. It's been made purposely that way. So we know the causes, we know the solutions, but we have to separate away from that system. We have to get away from it, knowing our real history, knowing that, you know, like United States, like Canada, we're under British Crown rule. People don't realize that we were taught the wrong history. We have two court systems. There's God's law, common law, natural law. Then you have the British Crown rule. British Crown rule doesn't like us. We're slaves. So stop going in that system, which is the system we all grew up in, and go under God's law, common law, natural law. Now that's an education of its own that I'm still undergoing. But if we want to be free, that's what we have to do. We have to learn the true system, the right system, not be a part of this old system anymore.
Yeah. And I like what you've had to say about the forming of communities, you know, with intentional purpose. I'm have started this process. We're a couple months in now. We're probably close to 100 community members. We're all looking to exit Canada because the situation here is tenuous, and we're simply such a small fractional minority that I don't think it's going to be safe for us here. So we're looking to be moving either southern U.S. or down Costa Rica way, with this intent, explicit intent of, you know, growing our own food, supporting one another, you know, what skills I don't have, someone else will have, and working collectively to create something beautiful, which, you know, the utmost objective is the advancement of the human consciousness and the human paradigm to bring about this, you know, Garden of Eden, the heaven on earth, instead of this false pursuit of fiat currency and separating ourselves from this present system.
Yeah, I absolutely agree 100%. Yeah.
So you've also, say that again.
I said you find happiness in doing that, right? Because
absolutely.
You finally start to become alive for the first time in your life.
Yeah. And it's interesting. There's a couple of ladies within the group that were in abusive, controlling relationships, and they've since exited. And they said around, you know, March of 20, they began to see all the same signs. They felt like they were in their marriage again, except this time married to the government. And through linking up with this group, they're so empowered and so happy that, you know, this is what they've been waiting for. And they're, you know, feel sort of their souls coming to life again. And so it's been very empowering and very rewarding to sort of being able to offer people an option and a pathway forward, because so many people are in a bit of a state of loss and unknowingness as, you know, what's the next step? What do we do here? So it's I'm happy to be able to provide that for these people. So you've raised also the alarm about the monoclonal antibodies. What do we have to be concerned about with those?
Sorry.
No worries.
The monoclonal antibodies, I have been upset about these from the very beginning. Even though a lot of my colleagues advised them, I think that was because they didn't really understand what they honestly were. So if we know the human body, when you have an infection inside you, your body mounts antibodies against it, which fights off the infection. Well, that's just a very incredibly simplified version of how we heal ourselves. That is not exactly it. You can have a million antibodies and still die. That's overly simplified, but you know, it could help in some way. So they're trying to tell you your body is too broken to be making these antibodies. So we'll just give you antibodies to it. Okay, let's go along and play the devil's advocate and say that will work. Let's go and look at what the antibodies come from. So when they say monoclonal, it's a misnomer, because mono means one. It's really a cocktail. cocktail of at least three antibodies. So the first antibodies are just human donor antibodies. That's all. They don't go into any sort of dissertation discussion of where they come from. I'd want to know, are they dead humans? Are they alive? Did they have a drug problem? Are they HIV? Where are they coming from? Have they been purified? We don't know. They're just donor antibodies. Great. Next one, they get a human clone line from HEK293. So there's aborted fetal cells in there. So they will lie and tell you they're not because they like to be creative with their words. And they'll tell you that they're cloned and they're mortalized, etc. So what happens is when they get these aborted fetal cells, when they say 293, that meant they took 293 living abortions before they got that line. They're really proud of it. That's why they put the number 293. It's almost like they're bragging because there's power in numbers, right? It's 293 times more powerful. It's kind of, to me, it's a form of witchcraft. So what they do is they lie. They say they need the baby aborted alive, so for the cells that they're researching to be viable. And that's a lie. Because I'll tell you this, we take heart transplants from people, right? And that heart is not in a living body for many, 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 many hours. We still use it. It's viable. That's one simplified version. They're lying to you that they need to make sure the baby's born alive. So they abort it alive. And so it has to have a beating heart. Then they take it to a really cold lab. And they let it sit there, the baby sit there. And what they do is then they kill it in the lab. So they're still killing it before they get the cells. And they either take a large bore needle and stab it in its heart, the baby's heart, or they cut its face open, or they cut the baby's chest open. So to me, these are blood sacrifices. They have no scientific value or merit, but to me, it sounds like a blood sacrifice. Anyhow, it took 293 to make that cell line. So what they do is they don't consider it still aborted fetal cells because they just keep it in a cancerous state where it's always multiplying its cells. It came from, it's the same cell line. It's just multiplying. So they call it immortalized because they don't want you to know it's cancerous, or they call it cloned. So they don't want you to know it's cancerous. It still comes from that cell line. You have to know what you're agreeing to put in your body. It was worth that many sacrifices so that I could have some antibodies. Is that what you're saying? You have to understand what you're putting in your body. So not only that, you're putting cancerous cells in your body. Our body can take up genetic material. So what we eat, what we inject ourselves with, what we breathe in, all this genetic material, because our body's learning, takes it up. We can take up some of this abnormal material. It's not foolproof. The third thing is chimeric antibodies. What chimeric means, you're taking one animal and another animal, pushing the genome together to form a brand new creature, like as in the days of Noah. So they're taking a mouse and a human genome, pushing them together, and they're spitting out an antibody. And it's also genetically modified above and beyond that. So you have to know, do you want not just aborted fetal cells, but a chimeric line in your body? So it's also a trade name called Velocimmune. And when I saw that trade name, I was very upset even more because I was familiar with that being used in immunotherapy on breast cancer patients when I had my large practice. So when these breast cancer patients got this Velocimmune line, they looked great at first. They were so happy. They felt good. Their tumors shrank. And then almost like you look at your clock, within 1 to 3 years later, most of them that had this would come back to my office loaded with cancer. It was the most aggressive thing I've ever seen. Their organs were melted into each other, and they would always die, of course, within a month, sometimes 5 years. Now, of course, they got a, because you're trying to trick the immune system, and that never works. When you do one thing, you have repercussions in a million different ways. So we're trying to suppress immune responses, and then what will happen is it will affect all these other things downhill, right? And so everything came back, and the body couldn't fight any kind of cancer at that point. They called it an allergy, but it was not an allergy. It was simply, you cannot fool the immune system. So this was not a success. This was a disaster. And of course, people now are not getting many, like a chemo patient would get, but still, what would happen just with one or two doses? time will tell. So nobody's talking about these issues. They're just saying, get the antibodies. You're so nice. You're so good. And they're coming from the same manufacturers that have hurt you time and time again. Why do you think they're going to be anything different?
Yeah. Yeah. And what has the success been with those in terms of treating patients?
It's really, well, what kind of success is it? Because people are doing it preemptively. Yeah. You can't gauge anything on that. The people are already sick. And it's like, I think I got better faster from them. How do you know? There's no control test. You have no idea. And again, what happens, the person does appear to be better at first, but what is the price you pay down the road?
Well, we heard in the Senate testimony there yesterday that there was, I think it was from Dr. Harvey Reich, where hospitals that were administering remdesivir, which in the fall of 19 was not allowed to move forward as an Ebola treatment because it was too toxic. And so they, you know, sort of switched gears and pushed it into COVID. I think hospitals were getting a $20,000 bonus if they were through the Medicaid system, if they were using remdesivir. So do we have any idea if there's a financial incentive for the administration of these monoclonal antibodies? Same kind of deal?
They get paid a ton of money. They'll drive out to your home for free and give it to you for free. That means they're getting paid. I can't remember the dollar amount, but it's incredibly high. So, of course, there's a huge financial incentive with this.
And you have to always be cautious of that. I mean, if somebody has a large financial windfall to administer something to you, which may or may not be of benefit to you, their motivations are pretty clear, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So through this unfortunate episode of humanity, my hope is that medical professionals will finally take a critical and scientific look at all vaccines and realize that they're the underpinnings of our modern chronic health problems. Would you agree with this assertion?
100%. Yeah. If you really do your due diligence on vaccines, how they're created, what's inside of them, listening to the people who first created them, how they were, they still have videos of them bragging about how they cause cancer. They knew this decades ago. We have a lot of data and evidence, even by scientists that are now dead, killed because of this, showing how they cause autism and cancer. The CDC has even admitted that the flu vaccine has a lot of dormant viruses, they call them viruses, that can cause cancer later in life. But oh well, still get your flu vaccine. You know, it's worth the risk. We have the data and evidence. It's just whether or not people want to listen to it.
Yeah. And are you familiar with the landmark control group study that Greg Glazer out of California is pushing forward?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
So it's a fairly large data set comparing non-vaccinated individuals to the vaccinated. And the results are quite alarming that, you know, essentially every single modern chronic disease that we see is moving lockstep with the vaccination rates. And while, you know, the correlation isn't causation, when your p-value is 10 to the negative 28, you know, statistically, I think you could say that it's a pretty close fit. So it's, and of course, now we're also seeing, you know, Pfizer's release of their Pradaxa oral blood thinner for children from the thromboembolism from these vaccines. I mean, this is a classic sort of problem reaction solution marketing. And I think also given our knowledge of what big tobacco is obscuring from the population in terms of the knowledge of their damaging product for so many years, you know, I think you have to assume that pharma is doing the same thing, particularly with vaccines, with the fact that they have this indemnity clause. You know, it's I think there's a smoking gun there that for some reason the medical profession just kind of keeps pushing as this modern miracle of science. It's quite irresponsible, in my opinion.
You know, and it comes down to the people, though. The people are accepting it because they're lazy. And they're not taking accountability and responsibility for themselves. They want this magic potion pill, magic sorcery, instead of actually looking at, I'm responsible for me.
Yeah, I've said
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I've said that throughout this whole situation is that, perhaps the greatest lesson that we should have learned from this, apart from the fact this is a spiritual battle, is that, if you haven't taken care of yourself, and you're for whatever reason, lack of exercise, poor eating, smoking, drinking, and suddenly you're sick, well, that's your problem. If you're obese and you get COVID and you die, well, is that COVID's fault or is that your fault? That's, you didn't take care of your own temple and therefore you become sick. And unfortunately, that message, certainly from the health authorities, isn't being pushed. I think Dr. Paul Alexander is maybe the only person who's been outspoken in terms of, the obesity epidemic and the fact that obesity is the number one comorbidity to COVID.
Yeah, it certainly is. Definitely, those are the people that go downhill very fast. And then also, when you have panic and fear in you, I see that make a huge difference in how ferocious this is on you. The power of your mind with this particular syndrome is great. It's very, very powerful. Can't stress that enough.
Yes,
So,
yes.
spiritual battle in that way as well.
Yeah. And so, I guess where is all this going? We kind of let's just sum this up. I mean, are we looking at this sort of human 2.0 transhuman AI controlled population if people don't wake up? Is that sort of the ultimate destination here?
I think that that's going to happen no matter what. It depends on if you want to join that society or not. People will be amalgamated because you can see they're consenting to it already, right? We have free will. We have to remember how powerful we are. If you want it, you'll get it. There are people that want that. We have to accept that. We can't make them not accept it. That's what they want. So I see us separating into two different societies. That's my prediction. And 8 years is a very short time away, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's time to get your house in order and
Get your
figure it out.
tabernacle in order. Get with your tribe. You can't wait. Maybe 5 years. That's too long. Things are moving at a record pace. So, just make sure your tribe is very important. Your holy temple is important. Prayer, God is important. Those are the things that you need to get in order.
Yeah. And so what's your message to the medical professionals in Canada and America and worldwide that remain silent or complicit in this ongoing fraud?
Our profession is a lot different than almost any other profession. We took an oath to first do no harm, to not kill anybody. We took an oath to not do that. And not only that, it's the spiritual law, God's law, that you're violating. You were given an honor and a sacred profession to take care of another human's life, many humans' lives. They're trusting you, and you're violating that trust over and over and over again for your own comfort, for your own money. And so maybe not in this life, but you will answer for it in the afterlife. And so there's no way that anyone should continue this way. You shouldn't keep silent because this is the honor and the sacred gift that you were given to take care of other people's lives. And so the very least, they should be having proper informed consent about everything that goes on with these shots, and that they are experimental, and then how many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people have been killed by them, and how they are hurting the children. They need to tell them everything. The very least, do that. It's calling them out. I've walked away from I've walked away from my business. I've walked away from my material things. So I'm walking the walk and talking the talk. But there's always another way you can do things. It depends on your belief system and how you think of this world and others and God.
So, what's on the horizon then for Dr. Madej moving forward here?
Right now, I'm doing some weekly Zoom meetings from my webpage. People can sign up. And so we're starting to just educate each other, the tribe. And so this week is about some essentials you should have in your community health center and how to stay out of the hospital. And we also always have, study a Bible verse in prayer because God shouldn't be taken out of anything. God should be included with everything.
Excellent. And that what which that's which website is that that I would direct? That's the drcarrymade.com.
It's just carriemade.com. So my first and last name.com.
Okay, carrymade.com. All right, well, I'll put that in the show notes so people can check that out if they're interested. And I appreciate you and all your work, Dr. Madej. God bless you and best of luck. Hopefully your vision for the future is embraced by other medical professionals, and we begin to grow this tribe of non-complying, free-thinking, God-loving people.
I definitely believe that with you, Michael. It's been my pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.